This morning, I would invite you to open your Bibles to the Epistle of Ephesians this morning. The Epistle of Ephesians. We'll be looking at chapter 4 this morning. And actually, get back in that blessed epistle that we've been out of for a few weeks. It's a blessing to take a break, but then also a blessing to get back in the Word of God this morning. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing in our time in the Word. Father God, we want to thank You so much for Your grace in our lives. Truly, we do come this morning, as we've sung, with thankful hearts. We thank You that You are the blessed controller of all things. Not one detail of our lives is outside of Your will, Your wisdom, Your power, Your grace, Your love. We thank You that, Lord, You are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. You know us. You know us intimately. You know our thoughts before we even have one. Lord God, we give You praise for Your grace, Your love, Your person, Your being. And Lord, we thank You this morning as we gather for the work that has been done on the cross on our behalf. We truly know the only reason why we are here, to worship You, the only reason we can stand in Your presence blameless and holy, is because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ given to our account and the work that He accomplished on the cross for us. So Lord, we come with thankful hearts, giving You praise. And Lord God, now as we turn to Your Word, Lord, we do ask for Your grace, Lord, in the preaching of Your Word and in the hearing of Your Word, that Lord God, You would use Your Word mightily in our lives, that we would live lives that are pleasing to You, that You would receive all the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we're finally back in the book of Ephesians after taking a bit of a hiatus for a few weeks. And this morning in the Word of God, we come to the end of our 7-part series on building up the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Now, something that I think most everyone would agree, especially believers, is that the human body is an amazing creation of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Even if your body is decaying, which it is, and falling apart, it is still an amazing creation of God. In fact, if there is one creation in the created world that really magnifies the wisdom and power of God, it has to be the creation of the human body. Some of the things that the human body does and can do is literally quite astonishing. Just thinking about some of the things that the body does is quite amazing. I just often think about just individual organs of the body, like, for instance, the heart. This organ that sits approximately in the center of your body, that is a powerful muscle about the size of your fist, pumps blood throughout your entire body without being asked or told to do so. It just pumps every second of every day. During a person's lifespan, the heart will pump about 200 billion liters of blood. That's an amazing fact when you think about it. That's a lot of blood, and in fact, if you were to even look this up, you'd learn that there are enough blood vessels in the human body to circle the Earth's equator 4 times. And that's just the heart. Haven't even got to the brain, or the eye, or the skeletal system, or the respiratory system, or the digestive system, or your taste buds. Aren't you glad for taste buds? Hearing, seeing. There are so many aspects of the human body that are just amazing, that clearly demonstrate the creative wisdom and power of God. It really is something when you just think about it. But there's another aspect of the human body that is worth mentioning as well. That while the human body is an amazing creation of God that does amazing things and can do amazing things, there is this other aspect of the human body that is worth thinking about. In that while the human body can do amazing things just by virtue of the fact that it's an amazing creation of God, there is this aspect of the human body that we also have, and that is called the responsibility that God has given us to take care of this amazing creation of God. He has called us to take care of our body. Now, I realize there are caveats to this, like genetics, disease, aging, and even providence. Those things that can have an impact on what the body does or even the health of the body. But most people understand that they have a responsibility to take care of their body. We understand that there are some things that we should do with our bodies so that the quality of our life is increased or maintained. Notice I said quality, not extent or quantity of days. The Lord determines our days down to the very last second. We can't extend our days by good health, if you will. God is in control of our days. But we can have an impact on the quality of our days. And we also understand that there are some things that we should not do because it can greatly decrease the quality of life in our bodies. I was even looking at some medical journals and articles online, and all of them had some common recommendations regarding the human body, taking care of it, maintaining it. Number one, maintain a healthy weight with healthy eating habits. What you eat can have a long-term impact on life later. Healthy diet can help protect against heart disease, diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, and other chronic diseases. All medical professionals will say this to us. Number two, all of them recommend this one, physical activity. Regular exercise or physical activity can lower the risk of getting those chronic conditions. Exercising consistently is rewarding. It helps us maintain a healthy weight, and it leads to healthier heart and lungs, stronger bones, more energy, and the lower risk of acquiring diseases. Those were the two main common recommendations by health professionals, but there are others. Number three, having a healthy way to manage stress was one of those. Interesting, we don't think of this often, but stress can have a huge impact on the body. It can cause high blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes, and so it's important that we have outlets for our stress. And we have one, by the way, right? Prayer is a good one. Number four, this was an interesting one. You want to have a healthy body? Stay connected with family and friends. Studies have found that people who are connected to family and friends, they live healthier and more meaningful lives. People who are isolated and lonely, they tend to be more at risk for high blood pressure, heart disease, obesity, depression, anxiety, and that really makes sense when you think about it, doesn't it? We are social creatures. Number five, get plenty of sleep. Sleep deprivation can have a huge impact on the body, and many studies, especially in the last 10 years, lots of studies have come out on the need for sleep and the impact that sleep deprivation has on the body. In fact, when we first kind of started our church, I preached a sermon on sleep, the theology of sleep. Maybe I'll preach it again someday, but it's actually really interesting. The Bible has a lot to say about the importance of sleep and the impact it has on our health. Number six, don't use substances that are harmful to the body. Makes sense. Things like smoking or vaping or drinking, or drug use, or substance abuse. These have negative impacts on the body. And the two of the worst ones were smoking and drinking. They were listed by almost all the medical health professionals as leading to risk factors in a person's body. In fact, smoking, this was an interesting statistic, smoking counts for 80% of lung cancer. 80%. Excessive drinking can also increase the risk of heart and liver disease, high blood pressure, and even certain cancers. These are some of the main areas that medical professionals have recommended to human beings in order to maintain a healthy body. We understand that there is a responsibility that we have to maintaining a healthy lifestyle, if you will, and there are some things that we can do to help the quality of life in these mortal bodies. But this morning, beloved, we come to a passage in the Word of God where we literally learn how we can maintain a healthy spiritual body, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. We are in a passage of Scripture where God has given us some responsibilities that we need to follow if we are going to have a church body, a body of Christ, the church that is vibrant and healthy and mature, if you will. If we're going to be part of a church where the quality of spiritual life in the body of Christ is healthy, active, productive, and growing, then there are some things that God has given us to do to maintain that spiritual health. We've been looking at this in Ephesians chapter 4 for quite some time as we've been slowly working our way through each verse in chapter 4. And truly, this is where we have learned how the great physician gives us the recommendations to maintain a spiritual health in the body of Christ. In fact, this epistle could be understood as a highly ecclesiastical epistle of Christ, because it's really about the church. In chapters 1 through 3, we learned all about how God has created this amazing creation of God, the body of Christ. Beginning in eternity past with election and predestination in Ephesians 1 verses 4 through 5, all the way to moving to regeneration and salvation in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 10, where God made us alive in Christ Jesus and he graced us with salvation. Then it flowed into Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, where we learned how God took those saved souls, those saved Jews, and those saved Gentiles, and he brought them into the one new man, Ephesians 2, verse 15. And in chapters 1 through 3, what we learned is all about God's beautiful creation of the body of Christ. Just like the human body, this amazing work of God physically that God has done to create the human body, we see in chapters 1 through 3 this creation of God called the Church of Jesus Christ, or the body of Christ, as we learn in our verses even in chapter 4. We learn in chapters 1 through 3 that God loves the church, that God has created the church. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, it says that Jesus Christ cherishes the church and nourishes the church. And it's used in the context of his own body, the husband and his care of his own body, and how that should roll out into his care of his wife in Ephesians 5. And it all ties in to Christ and his care and love for his body, the body of Christ. But it is in chapter 4 to the end of chapter 6, if you will, that we find God giving instructions to the church on how we are to have the same value for the body of Christ that Jesus has for the body of Christ, in nourishing and cherishing the body of Christ, to take care of the body of Christ so that we can promote and maintain spiritual health in the body of Christ. We saw this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, if you want to turn there and look at that. We saw the beginning process of maintaining a healthy body of Christ. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, he implores us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Promoting health in the body of Christ starts with humility and gentility and patience and tolerance for those in the body of Christ. And then it rolls on down to this unity around the truth of doctrine. Verses 4 through 6, therefore there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And we see that there's this humility that preserves health in the body. And then we see the unity around the doctrine of the church, verses 4 through 6. And then we roll into this humility and doctrinal unity fleshing itself out in service. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, where he says that every member has been gifted by Christ for work in the church. Look what it says. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 11, jump down to verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and here it is, to the building up of the body of Christ. Every member has been gifted by God for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. God has gifted the leadership of the church. God has gifted the laity of the church. God has gifted every single member of the church that's been truly been saved and regenerated by the work and grace of Christ. And the sole purpose of that is to build up the body of Christ. What does it look like to build up the body of Christ? Well, verse 13 very clearly tells us, how do we know what a healthy body of Christ looks like or what the goal is? Verse 13, it says, until we all attain to what? The unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We see God's goal in verse 13, for each member in the body of Christ to build up the body of Christ. It is to bring about maturity, maturity in Christ. This is God's goal for the church corporately. This is God's goal for you individually. The goal is maturity in Christ. And what is the measure of maturity? The measure of maturity is Jesus Christ himself. Notice what it says. He is the measure. I love that. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What does a healthy body of Christ look like? It looks like Jesus Christ. It thinks like Jesus Christ. It lives like Jesus Christ. It acts like Jesus Christ. It models Jesus Christ. That is the mature body of Jesus Christ. That is a healthy spiritual body of Christ. And what is the goal for this maturity in Christ? Well, we see what that is in verse 14 and verse 15. Notice what it says. Why does God want the church to be healthy and mature? Well, we read it in verse 14. We've looked at these verses. This is just review. And as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Why does God want the church to be healthy and to grow up? Because he does not want us to remain children, literally in the language, infants. Infants. And why is that? Because children are naive. Children are immature in their thinking. Children lack discernment, and children are susceptible to harm. And notice how susceptible they are. Notice how unstable they are. He says that they would be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. That word for tossed is a word that speaks of fluctuating in your opinion and your beliefs. That word for carried speaks of someone being carried from one place to another place. And then notice who does that. Who's the one who influences these children? It's all those trickery and the craftiness of men, those who seek to deceive God's children. Why does God care that the body of Christ is healthy and mature? Because he cares about his church. He nourishes and cares about his church, and he knows that without maturity, there is susceptibility to harm and danger, and he wants to protect the church. He wants to protect the body of Christ from disease, if you will, which is false doctrine and false teachers. How do we do this? Well, we learn in verse 15, the way that the church is protected from this disease that can infiltrate the body of Christ. One way that we do this is verse 15, notice, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. What is the antidote to the disease of false doctrine and false teachers? It is truth. It's truth. We are to grow up, if you will, on a healthy diet of the truth of God's word. That is how we maintain a healthy body of Christ. Just like our physical health is dictated by what we, our diet, and how we do with our own diet, so it is with the body of Christ. We need to grow up on a healthy diet of the word of God, the truth. Notice what he says there, speaking the truth in love. That word is alethuentes in the language, and it's a word that speaks of telling the truth, but it's even more than that. It is a word that speaks of doing the truth or practicing the truth or being truthful. The word speaks of speaking and practicing the truth. It's not just speaking truth, learning truth, it's acting on truth. I love what the NET translation says. It says, but practicing the truth in love, we are to grow up in Christ. You see, this is the complement to verse 14. You don't just know the truth, we do the truth. We speak the truth. We live the truth. We practice the truth. And notice, it's an ongoing action. We are to continually do this. This conveys the character of the person who has a healthy life in Christ, if you will. I love this about the Word of God. The Word of God is so clear. The Word of God tells us how to live lives in Christ that are spiritually healthy. I also want you to notice how this practicing the truth is tied to love. Notice what it says. We're to practice the truth in love. And we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Notice that in love, that speaks of the sphere in which the body of Christ matures and becomes healthy. It's not just the truth. It's not just cold orthodoxy around the truth. It is the truth united with love. It's the truth held in love. It's the truth spoken in love. It's the truth practiced in love. It is the truth, as I've said, wrapped in love. These are the principles that we've looked at in Ephesians 4 of how we're to build up the body of Christ, how we're to mature as a body of Christ, how we're to grow up into all things, how we're to maintain a healthy body of Christ. But there's one more verse that we come to this morning, beloved, that we have the privilege of looking at in regards to building up the body of Christ, and it's in verse 16, our final verse on this topic. I must say, it's the last part of verse 15 that trickles through verse 16 that we're going to look at. And I will tell you, beloved, I have to say, this verse 16 in my mind is kind of the punctuation mark to all the instructions that God gives the church to be a healthy body of Christ. We could call it the exclamation mark, if you will. Look at it with me. We'll pick it up at verse 15. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says this, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him," Christ that is, "who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." That is the exclamation mark of God's instructions on building up the body of Christ. And there's basically three principles that I want to bring to your attention about how we can maintain a healthy body of Christ or build up a healthy body of Christ. The first principle that I want you to notice that we see in our verses, I want you to notice in this passage, and that is that first and foremost, if we're going to have a healthy body of Christ, we need to also realize that Christ is the head of that healthy body. He's the head of the church. We see it at the end of verse 15, and I can't move past this because this is directly tied to the health of the body of Christ. Notice what it says. We're to speak the truth in love. We're to grow up into all aspects into him, and who's the him? The him is the head, even Christ, and it's from him or from whom the whole body grows. Now, this is a very powerful metaphor that we come to this morning when it comes to the body of Christ, because it has great significance on the nature of the health of the body of Christ, and that is the head. The head is critical. First thing we learn from this metaphor is that Christ is the head. And what does it mean, the head? It means that he is the final authority for the church. Move over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. We get the context of what Paul's talking about with head. It's not the first time we're going to see this, but I want to bring your attention to this. Notice what it says, Ephesians 1, verse 22. And it says, "And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church." That word head is used in this context to refer to Christ's ultimate authority over the church. God has put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and has made him head over all things to the church. That's pretty clear language, don't you think? How much sovereignty and authority does God have, or does Christ have, over the church? Notice, all things. All things. Christ is the ultimate authority over the church. All authority. He's the final authority for the church. This has huge implications for the health of the church, because without the head, we all understand it, there is no direction for the body. And that's where head is important here as the authority of the church. Just think about it. The head, your brain, is what directs your body. Now, I know there's things in your body that you don't tell your body to do, that just do those involuntary muscles, which is an amazing demonstration of the creative wisdom of God and the power of God. But there's this other aspect that we understand, that we actually tell our bodies to do things. The head is ultimately in control of the body. The head is what controls the body. Your mind, your thoughts direct your body. If you want to do something, your mind tells your body to do it. And so it is with God's spiritual body, the church. The body of Christ is completely dependent upon the head. At least it should be. We need the head to give the body direction, to give directions to the body as to what the body should do and how it should be. Otherwise, the church has no direction. The church has no plan. The body has no purpose. The body has no meaning. Everything that the body does, the body of Christ does, all comes down to the direction of the head, who is Jesus Christ. And beloved, this is so critical. This is critical to the health of the body of Christ, is it not? Consequently, this is why there are so many churches that are ultimately sick and diseased, or maybe even dead. And it's because they are separated from their head. They are not listening to the head. They're not listening to Christ. They're not submitting to Christ. They're not submitting the body to the direction of the head, who is Jesus Christ. And therefore, the body is desperately sick or even dead. Some churches are trying to build a church apart from the head. They're trying to build a healthy church body without the head. Imagine that. It's kind of like the headless horseman, if you will. It's the headless church. Some turn to the world. Some turn to the wisdom of men. Some think church boards are the head of the church. Some think the deacon board is the head of the church. Some think the congregation is the head of the church. Some think the pastor or the elders are the head of the church. Some think some ecclesiastical board that is the head of the denomination is the head of the church. And some think that the Pope is the head of the church. And they are wrong. 100% wrong. This is not the case. Who's the head of the church? And who has always been the head of the church? Jesus Christ. We even see this in verse 15, if you want to look back at Ephesians 4. Notice what it says. We see it in verse 15 with the verb tense. Notice, it says, he who is the head. Notice that verb is. Not was, not will be, but is. It's a present tense state of being verb. I also want you to notice the article, the definite article in front of the noun head. He is the head. That means he's the one and only head of the church. No one will ever take his place. They may try. They may try and supplant his supremacy, but ultimately he is the head of the church. And aren't you glad for that? I am. Because it means that all that is done in the church, all that the body should do and does, should come underneath the submission and the control of the head, who is Jesus Christ. No one is supreme over the church, but only Christ and his word, which directs the church. Which is where we ultimately, as the church, find our ultimate authority. It is Christ as head, telling us through his word how things ought to be done in the church, and we as the body should submit to our head. After all, think about when you let your body, rule your head and your mind. How does that go for you? Think about the times when you just can't hold back from eating that bag of Doritos at 11 o'clock at night when you know you shouldn't do it. Doesn't go too well, does it? But when you tell your body that you're in control of it and you're going to submit your body to ultimately your mind, it goes so much better, doesn't it? And it's the same with the body of Christ. The health of the body of Christ is submission to the word of Christ. The word is key. And so once again, we find that a healthy diet of the word of Christ keeps the body healthy. There's another aspect of this metaphor that I want to call to your attention. I want you to see, and that is because Christ is the head of the church, he is also the life of the church, or the source of life for the church. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, if you want to go back to the context of chapter 1. Pick it up at verse 22. He says, and he put all things in submission under his feet. He gave him as head over all things to the church. But look at this, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's not only the ultimate authority of the church, he's the life of the church. He gives life to the body of the church. Christ is not only head as being over us, he is, I love it, in us. He's in his body. In other words, the Lord has a very intimate relationship with his church, an inseparable relationship, if you will, with the body, a loving relationship with his body, Ephesians 5, a powerful relationship with his body. He fills all and is in all. What a statement. In fact, go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, and we see this, that as head, he is the source of life for the body. Notice he says, we're to grow up into all things into him who is the head, even Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Really, that's what Paul's getting at. It's from Christ, the head, that the body gets its life, its power, its grace, if you will. The life of the church is tied to the head of the church. And there is no escaping that truth. Just think for a moment. What would happen if you lost your head? Pretty simple, right? You would die. You would die. That's just that simple. You would be dead. And it's the same for the body of Christ. The body of Christ is absolutely dependent upon the head for life. Without the head, the body is dead. The head not only controls the body, but the head keeps the body alive. It gives life to the body. The head of the body is responsible for the growth of the body. And there's a great example with this. For example, at the base of the brain is called the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland is responsible for producing growth hormones, as well as other hormones. And those hormones affect the human body and dictate the growth of the human body. And so it is with the head of the church, Jesus Christ. He's the source of the church's life. He's the source of the church's growth. He is the head of the church. And isn't it good to know that life will always be present in the church of Jesus Christ, in his body, the true church, because Christ is literally eternally connected to the body. He's the head of the church. He's inseparably linked to his church. He's intimately connected with his church. He loves the church. He nourishes and cherishes the church, Ephesians 5. What a comfort to know that the Lord never leaves his church. The Lord never abandons his church. Matthew 28, verse 20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Lord is always connected with his body. He's the head of the church. His body of believers that submit to his authority and depend on him for spiritual life. There is no separation from the head, Jesus Christ. But that really implies that the body stays connected to the head. There are some churches that come out from underneath the headship of Christ. They sever the head from the body, and what happens? It dies. And if you doubt that, you can just go to Revelation chapters 1 through 3, and you can see the head of the church roaming and looking at the churches, and you can see what he tells the churches. In some of those churches, he says, unless you repent and return back to the head, I'm going to remove your lampstand. You will lose your life and your power as a church. And consequently, those churches are dead. And unfortunately, this church, Ephesians, was one of those churches that didn't honor that authority and that command by their head, Jesus Christ. Paul is telling the church of the value and the importance of the head. When the church is submitting, the body submits to the head, it grows and it has direction, and it finds grace and strength for life. Because what we learn in this verse is that growth in Christ is directly related to our connectivity to Christ. Not only is he head over the church, not only is he connected to the church and the life source of the church, there's another principle that I want you to see from verse 16, and that is a healthy body is a connected body. Not only is the body connected to the head, Jesus Christ, but the body, a healthy body, is a connected body, or a growing body is a connected body. A healthy body is connected to one another in community. We see it with the verses before us. Look at verse 16. We're to grow up in all aspects into him who is head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I want you to notice that first part of verse 16. From whom? From Christ. The whole body, notice it's not some of the body. The whole body, notice it's being fitted and held together. Who's the one doing that? Jesus Christ. So most certainly, a healthy body is a body connected to the head, who is Christ, but it's even more than that. A healthy body is a body that is connected within itself. Notice the connective tissue in the verse, if you will. Christ is connected to the body as head, but we are also connected to one another, from whom the whole body is fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. That is a huge statement, beloved. And that is a very practical statement in our modern day of American Christianity with our self-sufficient, independent lifestyles. What we find here is that a healthy body is a connected body in community with one another. Those words, being fitted and held together, speak of what Christ has done with his church. He has united believers together. He's connected them to one another, and he has closely connected them to one another. That word being fitted is a present passive participle that speaks of God fitting each member together in the body of Christ. The term is used to speak of building blocks, if you will. We saw it in Ephesians 2, verse 22, where he says that we're being built up into a household of God, and he talks about how we've been fitted, and that fitted literally speaks of God constructing this house. And how does he do it? He cuts and shapes each block, if you will, and he fits them together like Legos, if you will, to build a house. This is the connectivity of a healthy body. God has specifically cut and shaped and fit each believer to fit in the household of God, or to fit in the body of Christ. God has not haphazardly just thrown the members together and said, just work it out. I hope it works out. It might feel that way sometimes. You might go into some churches and go, whoa. Might feel that way sometimes even in our own church, but that's not the truth. That's not the truth. God has specifically cut and shaped each one of you. If you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have submitted to his lordship and you've repented of your sin and placed your faith in his work on the cross and your salvation in him alone, then you know what he does the minute you do that? He gifts you with grace and he gives you gifts. And that means he's fitting you and cutting you and shaping you to fit in the body of Christ to fulfill a designed purpose that he has for you in the body of Christ. You might say, well, I don't know where I fit. Well, pray about it. Pursue opportunities. Seek to be of service. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But I want you to notice that God has connected us together. Very critical. Being fitted, right? But then notice that word being held together too. That's quite an interesting word. The word speaks of being united together in an intimate way, to be literally knit together, or as the NASB puts it, held together, which really conveys the close connection that the members of the body of Christ should have with one another. I also want you to notice something about the verb. being fitted, being held together. That's a passive participle. That means that's something that God has done to you and to me. It's something that he does in his church. It means that this is his design. This is his plan. I also want you to notice the tense of the verb. It's ongoing action, being fitted and being held. He's continuing to do this work as he adds people to the church and as he continues to grow the church. Now, this has huge implications for us. It means that a healthy body is a connected body. This is how God's designed it. This is his work. This is what his word says. And just as an illustration, if you just think about this for a moment, how does it go for you if you were to, by accident, maybe cut off an appendage? Let's say you cut your finger off by a bandsaw, or maybe you're in an accident and you were to have your leg cut off and you were to lose an appendage. What would happen to that appendage? It would die. It would ultimately die. And that's the lesson we learn with these verses. You see, a healthy body is a connected body. Each individual member, intimately connected to the other members of the church, gives the body health and strength. If you lose an appendage, it dies. Consequently, if you were to lose an appendage, have it cut off, and you were to get that appendage and save it and get to the emergency room fast enough, they could sew that appendage right back together. You know what? Your body would bring it right back by the grace of God. I read some amazing stories about that. I read a story about a kid that was eaten by a crocodile, lost his arm, got it cut off, and one of the parents or grandparents grabbed that gator. It's quite the story. And actually, they killed the gator, cut the gator open, got the arm out of the gator, got the kid to the hospital, and sewed it right back on, and it came back. You see, we're connected. We're connected. Which means, and this is key, it's not healthy for Christians to be separated from the body of Christ. And I don't care what they say. I've had Christians tell me, professing believers, oh yeah, you know, I'm a believer, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not involved in a local church. Then you're not healthy. You're sick. And actually, you might be dead. Because see, a healthy body is a connected body. And we see the health of the church in all of the one another's of Scripture. I think there's like 42 one another's in Scripture. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Do not judge one another. Pray for one another. Love and serve one another. Encourage one another. Build up one another. Admonish one another. Accept one another. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Those are just a few examples of how intimately connected we are. And then we have verses like Romans 12, verse 15, that says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You can't do that if you're not connected. Not going to rejoice for those people who are rejoicing in the victories in Christ, and you're not going to be able to weep with those who weep if you're not connected and intimately involved in the lives of people in the local church. Involvement and active participation in the church is vital to the health of the church. It's always a great concern of mine, beloved, to see professing believers stay away from the church for long periods of time with no conviction. No conviction. And they have no problem doing so. They're uninvolved. Maybe they come to church, but they're uninvolved. They're uncommitted. And it is so sad. And it's sad for them. Because no matter what they say or profess, I know they're not healthy. They can't be. They just can't be. And you know what else? They're susceptible. They're susceptible to danger and spiritual harm. It's very important principle that we learn here. This is what God is saying. And it doesn't matter what a person says about their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The experience doesn't dictate the truth. The truth dictates the experience. And the truth is telling us today that God has planned and designed to unite us together. as a corporate body. Very, very important for us. There's another point I want you to see. In verse 16, we see Christ as the head of the church. We see Christ has connected the church as his body, and we also see that Christ grows the church through the service of each member in the church. And this is critical. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, what a key verse, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's another statement that has huge implications. Christ grows the church. He grows the church. He's fit the church together. He's holding the church together. He's united the church together. But how does he do this? How does he hold it together? We find out how he does it. Notice it says, by what every joint supplies. There it is. How does God hold the church together? He does it by what every joint supplies. It happens when each member in the body of Christ does what God has called them to do in the body of Christ. As Paul says, when each member, each joint, if you will, supplies gifts of grace to the other members of the body of Christ, that is how he holds it together, if you will. When you think of the joint of a joint in your body, it's where one part of your body is joined to another part of your body. In other words, it's where they're connected, right? The joint is where the body parts come together, if you will. And that's Paul's point in the church. As each individual member is in contact with other members, there is strength and support that holds the body of Christ together. It's really critical. And so what he's saying is that Christ is the one who unites the body and unifies the body and supplies the grace to the body, but the body has a part to play in its health. The body has a part to play in how it is involved with one another and supplying grace to one another, if you will. Notice what it says, verse 16, according to the proper working of each individual part. The body of Christ is strengthened, matured, grown when each, notice, individual part does its part. That's what causes the growth. That's what builds up the church. That's what God uses to make a healthy body. Now, that's an important principle, don't you think? What an important principle for us to really contemplate about. The church is only as strong as the sum of its members. And the sum being the active participation of the members in the body of Christ. Notice, he says very clearly, the whole body is fit together, right, and held together by what each joint supplies. So the whole body is impacted and affected by what each individual part does or doesn't do. Pretty critical when you think about it. That means that members are serving in the church of Jesus Christ. They do their part. The spiritually most healthy people in the body of Christ are those who do their part. Or let's just say it like this. A healthy body is one that actively engages in exercise, right? Well, there you go. The spiritual exercise of the body of Christ is service. That's where you exercise your muscles of faith. That's where you grow as a member of the church of Jesus Christ, when you actively get engaged and serve, not soak. Now, there are those that are separated from the church of Jesus Christ, but there are those who are very content to sit and soak in the church and not serve, not exercise their muscles, if you will, their spiritual muscles. They're what I would call the couch potatoes of the church. Those who do very little in the church. They know there are opportunities to solve, but you know, they just can't find time, or they got this event going on, or you know, yes, we got this opportunity, but you know, I just can't make it this time, and that time becomes another time. They know there's needs in the church, but they just can't get involved. They got too many other concerns. And they may even know what God expects of them, but you know, it'll all just work out in the end. God will be gracious. And yes, he's gracious. But the way you live your life now will impact the way you get to live in eternity with rewards. And those who do this, they're spiritual couch potatoes, if you will, and it doesn't matter how healthy they may say they are, we know they're unhealthy. Because healthy members are engaged in work, service. They're what I like to think of sometimes as the spectators of the church. Those are the people that are content to show up to the game, sit in the stands, eat their refreshments, and criticize the players on the field. Criticizing the play of the game, the players on the field, maybe even the coach. While the players on the field and the coach, they work hard every day, every week, practicing, training, exercising so they can be well for game day. Too many churches are full of spectators who are content to let as few members do all the work. So how are you doing? What part are you playing in the church of Jesus Christ? You say, well, I don't know what my part is. Little part. If you just did your part, even if it's just the little part that you might think is little, actually your little part is a huge part. Just think about for a second, if you slam your finger, the tip of your finger, in the car door, how's that go for you? That is very painful, is it not? Or you get just a little tiny sliver underneath your fingernail, how does that feel? Painful. And you say, it's just a small little sliver. That's right. Because your part, even you may think is little, matters. There's a story that I read about this. It's a pretty good illustration. I'll close with this. This guy says, I was driving on a seldom traveled road and suddenly my car slowed down, sputtered a moment, and with a final gasp, died. There I was with only a screwdriver and a pair of pliers miles away from a mechanic. And what I know about car engines you can put in your eye. Maybe you can relate to that. I lifted the hood of the car and looked around. That's like what every guy does, right? Looks at him. Don't know what you're looking at, but you're looking at it. It says, I lifted the hood of the car and looked around, but everything seemed in order. Then a friend came along. He jiggled the carburetor and said, plenty of gas. He placed the screwdriver across some electrical connections and said, ah, no spark. Soon he found a loose wire. One little screw had come loose, which caused the motor to stop running. Just as little parts of an engine are vital to keep it running, every member of the body of Christ, the church, is important. Failure to do your part may hinder the whole body from functioning properly. Your failure to pray may result in the loss of power. Your failure to witness may be the reason that someone doesn't hear the gospel. Your failure to support your church financially may curtail the work of evangelism or missions. Your little part, if neglected, can result in big problems. The work of every member of the body, however small, is needed. Are you doing your part? Good question, huh? Are you doing your part? You know, if you want to know where you could get involved and serve, you know, you can ask me. We have a list of areas that we need, have needs, and areas that you can serve and help out. How does a church body stay healthy? Submits to the head, feasts on a healthy diet of the Word of God, stays connected to Christ and the members of Christ, as we learned that if you're away from family and friends, it affects your body. Same with the church. And lastly, stay active in the church. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you so much for your word this morning. Lord, I know there are many out there this morning that are feeling a great conviction. And that's by design, Lord. They need to feel convicted. Because, Lord, there's no greater purpose, eternal impact, than getting involved in your church. And you call us as your people to engage, get involved, serve. And Lord God, I know that our church is not as healthy as it could be, but maybe the reason we're not as healthy as it could be is because we're lacking members to get involved and make it more healthy. So Lord God, we ask for your grace through the conviction to motivate them. Lord, I pray that you would also at the same time help them to realize that you love them, you are gracious, you forgive us of all of our sins, you went to the cross on our behalf, but you've also made us your workmen, created in you for good works. Lord, I pray you would do that work in the hearts of each and every one of us this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the head of the church. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the life source of the church. As we learned last Sunday, the bread of life. We give you praise, Lord. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 is our benediction. Verse 20 says this: Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great rest of the Lord's day.